Her first full-length LP for Sire Records, Blast the Human Flower, a track called King Crack, produced by Stephen Street. Welcome to Brave New Waves. This is Brent Bambury speaking to you now from the four corners of your radio. Tonight, a profile of musical terrorists, renegade soundwave, dance floor heathens with a pronounced thug tendency and an industrial ethic. They're from the UK. And after that, we have an audience with J.R. Bob Dobbs, the leader of the Canadian chapter of the Church of the Subgenius, and the host of CKLN's indispensable call-in cult, Bob Dobbs, a deity for the mass man. All on this edition of The Waves, plutonium to the people.
Put your hands to the left and your hands to the right.
And The Waves, and still ahead tonight, J.R. Bob Dobbs. 900-foot Jesus and DJ Zero. And Truth is Out of Style, compact disc from Mark Griffin and Patrick Rollins, who just finished a long tour of North America with Consolidated. A very mixed bill, that one. RJ Bob Dobbs joins me on Brave New Waves tonight. RJ Bob is the head of the Church of the Subgenius in Canada. He's also the host of a radio program on CKLN, which broadcasts on alternate Wednesday nights and sounds something like this.
Yeah, well, just one, just Xerox page 147. That's the only worthwhile page.
Pretty hard
to do, isn't it? Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, you're a wonderful person.
Okay, thank you.
God bless.
You're not fired. You're not fired.
Okay. That was nice to have that information at hand.
Yeah,
I had a... Can you buy High Weirdness? I rarely see it in bookstores.
I see it in the world's biggest bookstore. I see it in a lot of bookstores.
Yeah. I had a friend in London, England, who asked for it. And I wasn't sure if it was still available. He wanted to trade. He listened to the guy who publishes Vague magazine, Tom Vague.
And he wanted it.
Yeah.
They don't have it in England.
No.
Well, I'll be calling some people tomorrow. There's some firings tomorrow.
All right, let's go back.
Okay, was this going to be Loren pleading to get her job back?
I see Kevin.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. Do you have a question for Bob? Or
you know what? I'm a new listener, too.
Thank you.
It's got to be some sort of summons going on.
Tonight?
Yeah. Most definitely.
I recognize this guy's voice.
I've never called before.
Are you sure? You've never met?
I'm sure.
Okay, go ahead then. Sorry.
Okay, I was listening to the show, and I came up with a sort of theory that may be interesting.
It would be.
Now, if you have something that is so private, people have an urge to make it become public.
Except me.
Why?
Oh, I couldn't answer that. That would require another show. You're going to have to listen in 2 weeks, and I will answer that question.
But that's only the first half.
That's all right, yeah. I'm just telling you, that question is a powerful question. Thank you for asking it. I've been waiting for someone to give me a chance to explain it. Your next theory.
Now, if you have something that is so public, is it not private?
Yes. That's a clue to what I'm talking about. You're hinting at the tetrad process, where you extend something, it obsolesces something else, retrieves something forgotten, and flips into its opposite. That's what you're talking about.
Most definitely.
Yeah, it's a process. Very good. Very good statement. And you're a first-time listener.
Most definitely.
Checks in the mail.
Great.
Anything else you'd like to say? I mean, I just love eating up Mike's show. I mean, we're going into Mike's time.
Yeah, my name is Mike, too, by the way.
Oh, hi. We'll be on the air for another few minutes. It's worthwhile tonight because of these callers.
Yeah, it's a special meeting tonight. Yeah. Must be a festival going on, a Bob Festival tonight. Is there any other theories you got or anything?
Something I'd like to ask about. I've been having a lot of problems with truth and what truth is.
Yeah.
If truth is relevant, what is it relevant to, and how do we know something is truth?
Well, information is not knowledge. Knowledge is not wisdom. Wisdom is not beauty. Beauty is not love.
Why?
Love is not truth.
Why is beauty
truth is not music, and music is the best. Anyways, that's just from the archives, from the Holy Office of Zappa. Yes, what is truth? Well, truth is limited now if you match your inner reality with the outer reality. If you're trying to find an external matching with what your notion of truth is, or what you would feel truth is, if you found it, that's matching. That doesn't work under electric conditions anymore. We have a new form of truth, which is the process of making itself. In other words, you cannot find truth as a stable point of view. It's a process now, like the tetrad.
Mm-hmm.
When I said the tetrad, you went, that's true. It wasn't the truth.
Because I think it's true, relevant to my situation at hand.
No, I don't necessarily mean that, because that implies matching your own inner reality with outer reality.
So that's wrong.
Yeah, that's limited today. The new form of truth is, well, in a word, it's Bob, but Bob resonates with all languages and all sounds and all artifacts. So I'd have to refine that better.
Michael.
Yes?
Get off the bloody phone and go to bed. It's 12:15.
The guy, Mother shows up right when he's going into the truth.
Okay.
Mike, you're a wonderful person.
Okay.
Sleep in tomorrow.
Well, that was
beautiful.
Oh, Mikey,
don't tell your mother. Don't tell her who you were talking to, Mike.
That's awful. I don't know what to say.
How symbolic when the goddess, you know, it's just like Dimensions magazine waking up this goddess crap about the goddess to come back, the Earth Mother nonsense. That was a symbolic. Right when a little individual male is trying to understand and feel the truth, what happens? Mother intervenes. Another caller. What a night. What a beautiful night. What's the date tonight?
That was Bob Dobbs with Mike Dyer from CKLN's Church of the Subgenius program, which is broadcast every second Wednesday night on CKLN in Toronto. And joining me tonight from our Toronto studios, J.R. Bob Dobbs. Good evening.
Good evening.
Nice to meet you.
Good to hear.
Listen, what is...
I am Bob, eager for fun. When I smile, everybody run.
How do I achieve slackness?
By tuning into CKLN every second Wednesday. That's the only way.
It's the only way. So you want a mass exodus out of all other corners of this country into Toronto, because that's the only way that we can reach CKLN from this corner of the world.
No, I run the solar government. You just give me access to satellite hookups, and the whole planet can share the space, the discarnate interval, with me.
Are we discarnate now?
Yes.
How discarnate are we?
As discarnate as anybody else is using any electric technology, from telegraph, telephone, to radio, to television, to computer, to satellite.
We're discarnate because right now we're being disseminated by satellite and by radio waves and by other technologies. We're being scattered across this part of the hemisphere.
Right. We're beyond our normal physical body dimensions. We have a new human image, which includes the new lung or organ of the electric environment. You know, how can we visualize this in the old terms? I'm talking all over North America right now, and... my listeners are with me in the same space as well as you. We're not in Montreal. We're not in Toronto. Where are we? The discarnate state.
Is it slack to be discarnate?
Now, this is the point. Yeah, you get slack by listening with me in the discarnate state on CKLN, because you pick up the feeling of the only person on the planet, on the global theater, who is conscious of the effects of this situation. That is the religious aspect of slack, sharing the space with the one person who is... aware of the whole implication.
So it's kind of like being, it's a self-awareness thing, really. I mean, it's like being, you're centered on your media discenteredness.
Yeah, it's a kind of collective psychiatry of suspended judgment.
But, I mean, what happens if there is no media? What happens if suddenly the media becomes illegal?
Well, that's what I want to do. That's called media ecology.
Okay, and how do you go about doing it? Then, I mean, what happens to, in that case, discarnateness is bad unless it's controlled by you.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
And people, it's not that I'm a bureaucrat and you have to match with my state of mind, is that through understanding what I'm talking about and experiencing, then you can be at least a junior Bob, and that understanding creates a homeopathic effect, and then we all understand media ecology and move into comprehensive awareness where art, science, and media converge through understanding our situation.
Okay, well, I want to be a junior Bob.
Okay. You already are, but when... you are now, right, with me, if you understand me. The problem is that we're going to have to shut you guys down, so you see, in all media, including CKLN, temporarily as a media fast to set up the art form of our intended goal and agenda, which is media ecology.
Okay.
Too many words? Too many words?
No. The words you find, the ideas are a bit thick. But what happens then? I mean, who controls this? Who do we trust? Who do we put all of our faith into?
Well, you know who that is. You know what I'm going to say, right? Eager for fun, when I smile, everybody run, right?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, you know, David Lynch, Twin Peaks, is all about me. They're showing the Andy Bob aspect. Actually, my twin brother, Dick Dobbs, is the main figure for the ground of electric technology, which is in his symbol and logo at the end. You know, Lynch Frost Productions, when they the sparkly, sparkly, sprack.
Yeah, you can hear a crackle of electricity. Yeah.
That's the electric environment as a logo. And that's what Lynch is, we hope, aiming towards explaining that Bob is involved with later on in the series. But how do we do it? Well, the point is, I already do this through the Tetrad. I'm a Tetrad manager in the Secret Council of Ten, and we orchestrate the solar theater. For your convenience and image projection, we'll call it the Global Theater, not Solar Theater. But the X's have landed, and so I'm involved with that, too. But on the Global Theater level, we use the Tetrad to mime what the pink oligarchs are using already. They are using Gorbachev and Bush, the Tetrad, as explained in Marshall McLuhan's Laws of Media, to manage the incredible turbulent times we're going through.
Okay, what about the X's? Where do they land, and what is their significance?
The X's are from Bo-Utis. constellation out there, pretty close, but check your maps for the actual location of Boötes. The X's come from there. They made their first contact on June 2nd, 1989, with the Pink Secret Council of Ten branch plant in Mongolia. This won't be revealed for another 5 years, but we will have definite evidence presented to us by the Pinks in 1994. Meanwhile, the crop circles are spreading. But in actuality, what's unique about my show is I present interviews and topical discussions with the X's on CKLN every 2 weeks because I've been in touch with them since March 88.
Okay, and what about the callers? Are the callers part of the conspiracy? Are they party to the conspiracy? Do they have information for you or do you have information for them?
We share and make sense. We make new information. When you say part of the conspiracy, we're talking two conspiracies. There's the bureaucratic hijacking of the planet and nations and cities. And then there's the electronic conspiracy, which we all share in by being addicted to the electric environment.
Right, okay.
So two levels there.
Which one is the top-down conspiracy?
So that's what you're seeing in Iraq right now. We're going to war. The collective discarnate audience doesn't really want to do that. It has too much of a hardware effect, right? We prefer software. Software violence. So the people feel, reluctant to engage in this old kind of replay. But somebody's going to do it. That's the Pink Secret Council 10 branch plant that I have to deal with in my Tetrad management.
How did you get so close to Bob?
Because I am Bob. I was born on February 2nd, 1922, the day James Joyce's Ulysses came out. I'm 68 years old, and I worked in the secret Council 10 in the 40s. I'm the character that Catch-22, note the title, Catch-22. That book and movie is modeled, refers to a character named Milo's Mindbender. You know, young Nazi-looking blonde, Aryan ideal image, that was me, made a lot of money, helped work with the secret world government from 45 till 1982. Then I worked with Dr. Beter to stop the first strike. Then I moved to Toronto, leaving Reverend Stang in the lurch down in Dallas. Therefore, he had to put out his book, which consisted of my excess files left over. Much of the real files not included in the book as I took them, in particular the Holy Office of Marshall McLuhan and Tetrad Management. Stang then had me assassinated on January 21st, 1984 in San Francisco at a regular Pink Divival. But meanwhile, I surfaced here with my colleague Bob Marshall and the Doctors for Bob Institute on St. Clair Avenue.
So what about the assassination then? Was that a fake? Was there a second gunman? What's going on?
There was all kinds of gunmen and it did not involve me. It was just a dummy, just a theatrical event by Stang to explain my absence.
Okay. But now that you've resurfaced, Stang is not, he's not fretful because of your resurfacing in Canada.
He's fretful. Why isn't he going to be on the show tonight? Right? Circumstances prevented that. You guys have a Pink situation where he's got to go to New York or something and do that to you. Why don't you call him on the phone? Very simple. But you're not including him. That tells you something. I have control now. Stang is losing in accessibility to the media.
Right. But you're also saying that we're a party of the conspiracy.
You're right? Working for me because you're in Canada.
Okay. Got it. Well, what about everybody else on television? Who are they working for?
Nobody, because the electric environment works for itself. It's like the computer environment, garbage in, garbage out. It feeds on itself.
But then, does that mean that the people who are involved in the flow of garbage, who are kind of the traffickers of the garbage, are they simply Pinks? Are they just agents of, I don't know, the
agents
void?
Agents of content. All right? You had Barrington Nevitt on your show. I think it was you about 4 years ago.
Yeah, you're right, we did.
Yeah, he's an agent for the McLuhan Holy Office. If you look at the transcript, check out his book with Marshall Take Today, and you'll understand how you get into Tetrad management. The Pinks deal with content. I and the Secret Council 10 guys working with me and women do Tetrad management of the formal dynamics of media. In other words, we would turn off the mosaic mesh effect, the tactile mesh effect of the television environment, regardless of the content. That would change people. We would no longer have the tactile interval addiction and gambling mania that's running rampant on the planet today. If you just turn off the effect of the television mosaic mesh, not the content. You got me?
Yeah. And okay, yeah, I do. But I don't understand how long will that take, and what happens in the interim? What happens during the fast? What kind of reorganization will take place?
Well, we'll have me as content, or rather kind of homeopathic, monomaniacal content, in the sense I will remind with key, scientifically precise verbiage defining our state, every now and then to remind us, because people are going to be basically fish fresh out of the water, which kills the fish.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to deal with a lot of cold turkey. Now, Doctors of Bob and the medical facilities there will be spread out with the rapid use of homeopathy and acupuncture and all the wonderful modalities we've retrieved from the East, plus new inventions in the West. These will be used to sort of anesthetize the population. But we will then collectively turn the television image back on when the population fails to be healed by these Dr. Shravab modalities. So it will be turned back on, and the gambling instinct of turning it off and on is what I'm an expert on. And that would not be known until we got into the process.
Okay, but what will the... I mean, you talk about how the anti-con... Or you're talking about content before, the way the content is the sort of essence of what happens now in broadcasting. How will it be different after the fast, after the armies of homeopathic... homeopathic medical agents have retreated.
Yeah, what will it be like?
Yeah.
It'll be slack. It'll be every religious archetype, every psychedelic archetype, every artistic archetype, and every scientific utopian archetype, we call it slack, will be experienced. And we'll move through that dimension, and within 50 years, we'll feel how the heck did we do what we did before, when we feel so much G-spot right now.
I have a quote from Bob. May I?
Yeah.
I don't practice what I preach because I'm not the kind of man I'm preaching to.
That's true. I said that.
Who is the kind of man you're preaching to?
Well, first of all, under electric environment, we all go right hemisphere, as Barrington Evett has pointed out, and therefore we're all girls. So you got...
So you're a woman?
Yes, that's a common theme in our show. Many people know I'm a woman. We have female girls and male girls. Those are our callers. All right. So what was your question? You asked.
Who's the kind of man you're preaching to?
Right. So I'm not preaching to men. Are we not men? Right.
Right.
Ant-Man B. See, man is the tactile interval of a post-conventional male-female split. So in the tactile interval, we don't know what we are. We're something new. We're not ant, we're not pre-industrial or industrial age workers, and we're not B, which is post-industrial software addicts. We're in between. That's slack. That's the new man. But it's not anything that looks like a boy or a girl. It's a discarnate state. It's what we're right now. What are we? We're two voices resonating.
Do you want to listen to some Captain Beefheart?
Yeah, Ant-Man B.
White ants running, black ants crawling.
Captain Beefheart and the Magic Band, and Ant-Man B from Trout Mask Replica, which came out in 69, and I'm talking to J.R. Bob Dobbs from our Toronto studios. J.R. Bob is the Bob you talk to when you call CKLN's Bob Dobbs program every alternate Wednesday at midnight on CKLN. Are you surprised at the level of slackness in the callers that you get in that program?
Yes. Well, see, the funny thing is I'm addictive. Once anybody calls in, and many of them explain that they've been nervous for many months and listened and felt really, anxious before they get on. But once they get on with me, they feel slack. And then the best of them, their subgenius gland comes out. So this is a remarkable, almost religious conversion that happens on the air. Many kinds of people who have felt inadequate in the discarnate state and only experienced it passively have mutated right on the show.
But are you, it is the church of subgenius. Are you not uncomfortable with the term church, especially in reference to electronic media today, after there have been so many unslack guys using the electronic media to rip people off through religious means?
Yes, I never talked about it as a church, but I will accept Stang's hijacking of that phrase for McGraw-Hill when they published the book in 83. But I would agree with, because in the ant stage, man was ruled by military bureaucracies. In the bee stage, the beehive, the electric solar theater beehive, the discarnate state we're all in, then we have a temple bureaucracy, a religious bureaucracy. This is why most politicians have to take on a religious aspect, whether Islamic fundamentalism or American fundamentalism. Now you notice the Gorbachev is taking and retrieving the Christian fundamentalism of the Tsarist regime. So you have to have a religious aspect in your image. So I'm putting on that level and doing a Manipian satire by having church. I mean, I do want to match with my audience a little bit.
But in the sort of the post-tactile stage of development...
That's a very strong phrase, post-tactile.
Well, I mean, more people becoming more isolated, people becoming less interactive, and people becoming more interactive with media and less with people.
Yeah, that's tactile. That's the electric tactile, not post-tactile. We are moving to a new preference for post-tactile human scale retrieval. That's what's called ecofascism, or the environmentalist movement. That is the need now. We are tired of the tactile electric autonomy, we call it. The isolation, the cocoon that we all wear. And so post-tactile is what I'm actually an expert on and talking about on my show just the past few months. So you're getting into tough territory there when you use that phrase.
Okay, then let's go back to electro-tactile, because I see the paradox of the electro-tactile world as being one where we do yearn for some kind of contact, and at the same time, trying to achieve it through the means of the media is fundamentally not fulfilling.
Yeah, see, that's the culture lag, because we are enjoying and addicted to the new electronic organ and lung and arm and leg, the new physical apparatus, the new biological state, the electric environment since Telegraph has moved us into. It's a new environment, we're swimming in it. But we have a nostalgic, what's called a phantom pain, you know, when a man or a woman loses their leg,
right,
they feel it's still there, phantom pain. We are still anxious for physical contact, for our roots in the physical old body sense, the bag of chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that none of this can stand still. The ground is shifting so much that any revolution or retrieval for nostalgic human scale or physical interaction or psychological matching or intimacy cannot stand still until we turn off the electric environment and see what the real hidden ground is that's obscured by these nostalgic retrievals.
Okay, so where do the eco-fascists fit into this?
They are nostalgic for the old Earth, the Earth of Greek alphabetic nature, the planet that was set into a frame, basically animals. But we don't realize that our collective extensions, our technological environments, are the new animals, the second phase of evolution. So until we learn to visualize and see that the new animals are what we're dealing with, the new nature is what the ecology should be directed at, hence the phrase media ecology, then we'll be lost and hijacked by such fellow pinks on the Secret Council of Ten as Johannes Turnentaxis and Prince Charles, who are hoiking up the old nature, the old green idea of the ideal valley. And that nature and all the insects and species involved in that will not survive no matter how eco-fascistic we get, because we are addicted to the electric environment, the new nature. Mm-hmm. And that is the paradox, the dilemma we're in. So you need me to spell it out so we understand the issues, because people know we can't go back, but they feel a need to go back, and they don't know why.
Can you tell us who else is on the Secret Council of Ten, Bob?
Well, the public ones who I competed with in February 1988 for taking over the chairmanship of the Secret Council of Ten, my competitors were Prince Charles and Johannes Turnentaxis, the richest man in Europe, and a man by the name of, he's a friend of Gorbachev, the Tsarist name, can't remember it.
Mm. Any Canadians?
Nope, I'm the Canadian, though that's just a fake. I'm not really a Canadian.
Okay, let's talk about tell me about the post-tactile era. What's going on then? This is your area of expertise. See if you can guide us through it.
Yeah, the post-tactile or the post-electronic mood is what we call ecofascism as a pink reflex. But really what we want to deal with is that since the television, radio, computer, and satellite environments have merged into a mixed corporate media discarnate collective water, and then we brought in VCRs, remote control satellite, therefore personal electronic interaction with the electric content in the water, in the electric water, and we've had that for 10 years, and all the political and cultural images reflected that. We now are exhausted with that, because every, say, 12 months under electric conditions, we go 200 years. So we've lived at least 2,200 years, mm-hmm, since 2,200 years. All right, so this can exhaust our preference. I mean, human beings are sensory, and they will get tired of a similar constant kind of stimulation. So we now have an anxiety or a need, a phantom pain for something that's beyond the electric environment, but we can't do it. You can't have it. We can look up at all these rearview mirror archetypal retrievals and try to live in them. The only way to get around it, and to meet this new post-tactile need, is to turn off the at least the tactile mesh of television and computers temporarily.
Mm.
And that is, see, the point is, this is already going to happen. This is going to come through as ecofascism, but these things are going to be shut down, and the pinks are going to claim they're doing it. But really, it'll be my work, since I run the Secret Council 10 and the real management, the tetradic management. In that situation, we will experience what I'm talking about and what we're yearning for.
Well, can you give us a time frame for the shutdown? When should we expect it?
Just after 1992.
Why 92?
Because Bob is B-O-B. Like your name, you're Brent Bambury, right?
Yep.
B-B, second letter in the alphabet. Now, 22 is a key number. 22 nations signed the NATO-Warsaw Pact agreement the other day.
And you were born in 22?
Yeah, and Brian Mulroney met with the Vatican today, November 22nd.
Right.
Many political assassinations occur on November 22nd. We know the one that happened 27 years ago.
Yes.
All right, so B-B-2-2. Now, B-O-B... O is the 15th letter. So 2, 15, and 2 adds up to 19. So definitely Bob surfaces, for example, on the major media like CBC in the 1990s, because you've got the 19 there, right?
Yeah.
But 92 adds up to 11. So you've got half of 22. So that's a key year. Also, it's been mapped out by the biblical book of Revelations, the beast services, the pink beast. But don't worry about that. We've got that control. But it still has to be worked out. And so we're going to go through the biblical apocalyptic scenario on a... condensed scale over the next year and a half. So after 92 was when, in 93, 94, when the Pinks will be forced to release evidence of the Exodus have landed. At that point, you know, I'm King of Canada and controlling Secret Council 10. So it's going to happen a lot sooner than people expect.
Listen, is cybernetics an example of eco-fascism, or is cybernetics an example of that trying to find the archetype, looking into that rearview mirror that you were talking about in the post-tactile era?
Right. Now, what cybernetics is automation studies. What do you mean by cybernetics?
I mean cryogenics. Cryogenics,
yes, yeah. Yeah, that's where you freeze your body.
Yeah, now, parts of your body.
Yeah, that is a very, talk about negative land and pink zone. That's an incredible nostalgia for the old human organism. To think that it can be preserved in the electric environment. I wouldn't recommend that unless you turned off the electric environment, because you won't be able to use it under electric conditions. And it'll be a plastic genetic replica. So no strategies work. No dogma, no postmodernist ideologies, you know, name them, that doesn't work. Nothing works, and it won't work. No economic formulas, no religious formulas, only Bob works. So, Brent, you're going to have to give me access to your show at least once a month.
Well, I'll have to find Bob before I can do that.
Well, you found me. Aren't you feeling the slack? I mean, this was incredible, the first section of the interview you said off the air. This is great.
I'm feeling the slack.
You're feeling, but maybe the problem is that slack is not happiness. So when you get slack, it's a comprehensive pain-pleasure modality, and you will get a lot of pain involving yourself with me, but the slack comes back pretty quickly, and good things happen in the long run. I'm sure good things will happen to you just having me on, and to your friend David Onansia, who created this situation.
That's Devo. And J.R. Bob Dobbs, host of Church of the Subgenius program on CKLN, is my guest tonight on Brave New Ways. You mentioned in one interview the motivated somnambulists.
Yeah, like Barbara Frum.
Yeah, what do you mean by the motivated somnambulists? Where do they fit into this?
Well, Bob's basic definition of imagination is that state of perception where you're not embedded in any of your senses or any of its extensions, any of the technological extensions of our senses. So the motivated somnambulist knows how to be well adjusted to the new environment, becomes very successful by merging with the image desires, image needs of the new environment, you know, from Newton through Einstein to Barbara Frum or whatever, or George Bush. And since they merge with the new environment, they don't foresee the disservices of the environment and technological situation they have, and therefore they look unimaginative.
Okay, so is Brian Mulroney a motivated somnambulist?
Oh, yes. We all know he's rather wooden and unimaginative. Anybody can see it. He's an organic robotoid, so to speak.
But are there any motivated somnambulists amongst us who we don't recognize immediately as being the robot that they are?
Yeah, we are most 99.9% of the planet are motivated somnambulists. The Church of Subgenius is 1.1%.
But isn't there somebody out there that we think we can trust, or that you think you can trust, have you been betrayed? Have you ever been betrayed?
Well, note the phrase out there. There's no out there. We're all on the same discarnate erogenous zone dancing, tactile, interweaving.
Yeah, okay, I accept that. But...
So we are everybody. I am George Bush. I killed John Kennedy. I set up Iran Gate. So did you.
But, I mean, aren't you ever taken by surprise? Doesn't something happen that shocks you or takes you back or causes you to question yourself?
No. The only thing that shocks me is the success of my operation.
How successful are you?
Well, listen.
I'm listening.
Feel it. Feel it. I mean, this is going across to a lot of people, a lot of some new subgeniuses, 15 years old, sitting out there in northern Alberta, hearing Bob for the first time. That's success. And my co-host Mike Dyer announced this interview and show tonight, last night on his show, and he says, who would believe it? Even my co-host, my deadpan co-host, can't believe the rapidity of Bob's servicing. I mean, they only surfaced 2 months before the harmonic Bob Virgins in June 87.
You know, I would love to be taking calls right now. I'd love to be hearing what the people in sitting out there in northern Alberta are thinking and what's on their mind and how they can... I mean, I'd love to hear the slackness coming off of those lines.
Right. Well, can't you do it sometime?
Maybe we could do it. It's certainly something... I mean, I don't know.
Can you plug into our station?
We could probably... I don't know if we could do that. Actually, it'd be easier for us. It'd be easier for you to plug into us, Bob.
Well, I'm ready to do it because that is the real church aspect. You see, the difference between Stang and I is he is the Old Testament, the ant level, the world's first industrial church.
Okay, this is Ivan Stang, who's where? In California?
In Dallas.
All right.
Whereas I'm the world's first electric church, and I'm in the New Testament, as opposed to Stang's Old Testament. I am B.B.
B.B.
Ant-Man B.
So I'm B.B. as well.
Yeah.
Well, Ivan Stang, hasn't he been taken off of the discarnate form of the airwaves? Hasn't he been told to take a show elsewhere?
As far as I know, I haven't talked to him in a couple of years. He had a talk show in Dallas, but his subgenius cohorts weren't decent enough, and the pornography forced him off the air. So it's a one-way show that he performs, I understand. He does take questions off air through his assistant, Will, but nobody can do what I do, have an interactive dialogue in a discarnate state, which you need, because dialogue bypasses propaganda. So Stang ends up being limited in a propagandic effect because he's one way. So yes, in that sense, he's been taken out of the discarnate interactive stage by disrespect of his own audience. Whereas my audience is ecological. They know how to go beyond, say, obscene gestures and move into real mental pornography, which is perceptual, not conceptual. And that's what we do. We do mental perceptual pornography.
Here's another Bob quote. People will pay to be told what they already believe.
That's Stang. That's the Old Testament. See, the Old Testament deals with visual space and money. That's the ant level. We and I, since I'm so wealthy, I don't need to involve myself with money, and therefore everybody can be partake in the New Testament Electric Discarnate Church for free. So that's a misnomer, that quote. That doesn't apply to my situation.
How can people take part? And if they're not right now tuned into the same discarnate technologies, well, they are because they're listening, but if they're not active participants in the dialogue aspect of discarnate technologies, as you and I are at this moment, how can they get in touch with you?
Now you've touched, I will give out the phone number, but that's what the post-tactile state is. You have led up to it with that question. I am homeopathic and interacting on the non-electric scale, the post-electronic scale, and people are feeling my changes. I predicted the Berlin Wall would go down, the reunification of Germany. I predicted the staying power of Gorbachev, and I predicted the Exodus would come. And did you see on November 5th, there was 100 UFOs that went right across Europe? And it was reported in the major media. There was a UFO hovering over Montreal on November 7th for 2.5 hours, reported in the Globe and Mail November 9th.
Yeah.
Okay, so these things I'm aware of. So I can interact with people and use the electric environment as an art form because
right.
It's post-tactile. Now, the work Connie and I do at the Doctors for Bob Institute is...
Is Connie your wife?
Yes.
Okay.
And we do direct interpersonal action there, and that's where people can feel our work, and they feel it all over because we're all dancing on the electric pin. And the electric resonating drum, the pulsating situation, like the TV image. But the point is that because I'm aware of that, then I can change reality. It's the basic core of alchemy, media alchemy.
Well,
and that's how people can pick up me. Now, they can call, 416-595-1478, any second Wednesday starting next week, November 28th. Call from around Canada and be on the show.
Okay, that's midnight Toronto time, though.
Yes.
All right, and if they call before or after that, they'll get some other sort of, some other kind of media.
Well, they got to figure it out. Vancouver is 3 hours behind us, so at 9:30 their time, be 12:30 our time, right?
Right.
So they call 9:30 their time. At 416-595-1478, they can interact with Bob.
Is there any other way to reach you, though? I mean, can they...
Oh, yeah, they can call 416-657-8040.
And what do they get then?
They'll hear Connie's voice on the answer machine, and if they leave a message and number, I'll get back to them.
Wow. You're pretty accessible.
Yes. Well, I have the time, and I have the slack, and I have the money.
Are there any other conspiracies we should be aware of?
No.
Are there any predictions?
I do have one. If you notice, in the just for Canadian consumption, one conspiracy is the fact that Lyndon LaRouche has been found not guilty by two judges, and the government has dropped his charges against him, but they won't let him out of jail. Now, Lyndon LaRouche is the holy office of logic. He has never been able to come to Canada because Canada has a very negative response to Lyndon LaRouche because of certain aspects of British and European intelligence. Lyndon LaRouche is something that Canadian subgeniuses should study, even though all your buddies here at the Fabian Socialist Extension of CBC would find this repugnant, and you probably won't even play this. But I recommend advocate for Lyndon LaRouche to be let out of jail because he's been found not guilty.
Okay, Lyndon LaRouche is
the latest conspiracy.
But he's the guy who, when we go to airports...
Whatever you're going to say is wrong. That's not what he is. He's the guy who says, feed Jane Fonda to the whales, right?
Yeah, and said...
More people have died in the back of Ted Kennedy's car than at any nuclear plant.
That's it. Ted Kennedy's the other one. Yeah. And Beam the Bomb. That was those guys as well.
That's Bob Beam.
Why are they in airports all the time? And what's the attraction of airports?
Because in the hardware world, Jet City... You see, there's more people pass through Chicago Airport every year than exist in New York, Toronto, anywhere. So most of our discarnate and hardware interaction occurs at airports. That is the new city on the planet.
Are we discarnate when we're on planes?
Yes, because you're inside a satellite environment.
I gotta go.
Yeah, let's leave it at that.
It was nice to talk to you. It's great to talk to you. It was slack to talk to you.
Well, thanks, BB.
All right.
Don't forget to announce Dove Entertainment.
Oh, yeah, Dove Entertainment. What's the address? You give me the address.
Yeah,
do you have it?
2 Bloor Street West, Suite 100, Box 159, Toronto, M4W3E2. And you can get my three tapes for $22 or each one at $7.77. That's Bob Dogma, Fragments with Bob, and Bob's third album.
J.R. Bob Dobbs, thank you for being with me.
Thank you, BB.
I'm in it, shop as usual. And avoid panic buying.
Negative Land, Christianity is Stupid is the name of that track, featuring the voice of Ivan Strang, who is of the Church of the Subgenius in the United States, and that's from Escape from Noise. Before that, we heard J.R. Bob Dobbs talking to us from our Toronto studio, and thanks to him and CKLN and Mike Dyer for helping us with tonight's interview. And you can hear J.R. Bob Dobbs. You can talk to the Bob on every alternate Wednesday night on CKLN in Toronto. You're listening to Brave New Waves on CBC Stereo. I'm Brent Bambury.